this is an incredibly competitive industry, and it's so important to truly understand what your business stands for. Identify your customer value. What is most important to your customer around what your business looks like and what you provide?
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey everyone, it's Sam here. Today we're joined by a remarkable leader in the real estate sector, Sally Patch. As Chief Agency Officer at Ray White Queensland, Sally brings over two decades of experience, having joined the team in February 1997. Sally's deep understanding of how real estate franchises work has been key in helping supporting franchise owners in many different areas of the business. Beyond her corporate role, Sally is a passionate advocate for women's professional development in real estate, and 4 years ago, she identified an opportunity to foster connections among young women in the industry, or young old women in the industry, forming the Leading Ladies of Real Estate community. And as chair of the Queensland chapter, Sally has been instrumental in expanding this initiative across Australia and New Zealand, creating a supportive network that inspires women to pursue their personal and professional potential. So welcome to the show, Sally Patch.
Thank you, Sam. It's such a pleasure to be here and on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And I enjoyed our previous conversation on your podcast, although that was a little bit uncomfortable for me. It's good to be back in the interviewer's chair. So how have things been for you since then? Have you been busy?
I have been. I don't know where 2024 has gone. It has been a big year. I've been working with some amazing people, which is really rewarding. It's so rewarding to support people as they come into our business and play a small part in that journey, in that early stage of their career with us. So that work-wise has been really busy. And personally, my baby turned 21 a couple of weeks ago and my big girl turns 24 tomorrow and moved to Melbourne. So it's been a big year.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a question I ask everyone at this time of the year, and that is, on Santa's list, have you been naughty or nice?
I'm always nice, Sam. I'm always nice.
Funny, everyone in the industry says that.
That's my personal brand and I'm not changing it.
Oh my goodness. All right. So you've been with Ray White Queensland since 1997 and your position now is Chief Agency Officer, and I hadn't heard that term until I met you actually. So can you share a little bit about your journey within the company and what drew you to the real estate industry?
Well, certainly real estate wasn't something that I was seeking out. It was a case of the first job that presented itself, to be perfectly honest. My partner and I had just come back from overseas doing the 2 years in London, as so many Antipodeans do. And we arrived back in Brisbane. We had no family here. He had an old friend of the family living out at Manly. So we bunked down with her, but we were desperate to find our own place. So it was a case of having to get the very first job that we could. So there was a role advertised with Ray White. It was a one-year maternity cover position, and it was executive assistant to Peter Camphor. And Camphor was well-known in this industry, one of my favourite people, and it was EA to him. And so that's where it started. And it very quickly became state administrator, had an opportunity to step into that role. So running out our corporate team here, doing events management and managing our team. And that was probably my first 4 years with the Ray White Group. Then I left and had my first child, and I had 12 months off on mat leave. And then I came back, and I came back in a part-time capacity for about the next 12 years. Actually. So I felt so blessed. And for me, success at that time looked like the opportunity to work somewhere for a wonderfully flexible leadership team who were happy to have me in whatever capacity I wanted, which for me was 3 days a week, and entirely up to me how I wanted to manage that role. And I felt it was not fair on the team for me to be in a leadership role with them when I was only in the office 3 days a week. So I gave up that part of the role, just trying to focus purely on supporting Peter Campen for that time. And then he exited, Tony Walland came in. Tony Walland was always being very, very focused on championing the people in his team and the professional development of the people around him. So I started to get some opportunities to challenge myself a little bit through there. And then an amazing lady called Robbie Clark, who was definitely a mentor for me, she was in our chief operating officer role at the time. And her and I had been working together on developing some onboarding resources because we were getting disappointed about what that experience looked like for some of our newest business owners. And Robbie retired. And so that opened an opportunity for me to step into what we called a business development role back then, focused on working with our new business owners. So that was it. And then along comes Jason Andrew about 4 years ago now. Jason develops the team into more specialist type roles. So it was at that point where my role title changed, I suppose, to Chief Agency Officer. And it really kind of grew into more of a governance and compliance type role.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what you actually do. Like you just said, you've been very busy and we report the news here at Elite Agent and we're always seeing new Ray White officers coming on board. So I sort of feel like every time we see a story, I think, oh, Sally must be busy this week. But tell us about your role and how you actually help these new officers integrate into the group.
Sure. Well, I suppose my role now, sometimes I find it hard to relate the title specifically to the responsibilities in my role, but I guess it's probably very much around compliance and governance and relationship management with our business owners. And that's what excites me about my role. It's the relationships that I have with our business owners. And in that governance and compliance space, it's a lot around franchise documentation, making sure that our documentation always reflects where our businesses are in their journey with shareholders, directors, businesses are coming and going, name changes, things like that. So that's important that we are across that. And also our brand integrity and our brand identity. It's really important to me that we work closely with the White family about protecting the beautiful brand that has been around for 120 years. So that's a part of my role as well, in line with what our operations manual and governance guidelines are around that. But a really exciting part of and a part that I get a lot of joy from is working very closely with our new business owners. So I support them from application through to doors open in the first instance. So when they're attracted to the brand and they've decided to move forward with us in a partnership, then I will take them through from application to doors open. And it's a really rewarding time, Sam, because the majority of the people that I work with are generally salespeople stepping into business ownership for the first time. And that expression, you don't know what you don't know, is just so true. They really don't know. So it's a lot of hand holding, and I don't mean that to be patronizing at all. I like to see my role as being so proactive. I feel that if they've asked me a question that I haven't already given them the answer to, then I've let them down. I want to be there with them on that journey, making sure that they feel supported every step of the way. It's a really overwhelming process when you're going through that for the first time. And I've done it more than 100 times for sure. And they're often just doing it once. So we know that on our side of a ledger, when somebody joins us, there's in excess of 100 different things that we need to do on our side, in addition to what they need to do. And that's spread across 12 different business units across our company. So we have a really robust onboarding process, which I built with the support of our team. It's a national onboarding program that has been adopted around Australia probably in the last 7 to 8 years. And we use an electronic workflow platform. And so it's just so important to make sure that we project manage it. And I see that as my role. I'm not necessarily responsible for conducting every single one of those steps and making sure that everybody, that all the action is taken. But it's my job to make sure that everybody else does what they need to do so that we all cross the line and get them open, get their doors open, make sure that they've got all their marketing resources, the community knows that they're about to launch and that they feel so supported throughout that process. So that's probably the biggest part of my role over all these years and something that I take a lot of pride in. It's really important to me that that experience is a really, really positive one for them, because I think that that sets the foundation for our relationship with our business owners going forward based on what that experience has been like for them. And then in addition to that, leading ladies, which you touched on, and I know we'll talk about that some more, but also facilitating a professional development program for people within our network who have ambition to be future leaders.
Yeah, I was just thinking about all the things that you were just saying then, how important it is to start on the right foot, I think, because as you say, changing to a new franchise is a huge deal. And I'm just thinking that is a massive responsibility to get everyone set up right. So I know it sounds like you do have a big checklist, but what are some of the key things that have to be like before the doors open day one? What are some of the things that you really focused on making sure happen?
Yeah. And I should say at that time, we only focus on what absolutely has to be done to get the doors open, because there was so much involved just in that. And then we have another program after that that takes them through the next 12 months, making sure that we're helping them develop that structure and everything. But before the doors open, most certainly the franchise documentation and making sure that they're licensed, that they're in a position to be able to go to enter into a franchise agreement. And be a lot of people that I start working with at that very early stage that actually don't understand what that licensing process looks like. They don't understand the timelines associated with that. And those timelines will govern at what point they can open the doors. We can't execute franchise agreements unless they're licensed and insurances. So there's all that compliance side of it. A really important part for them is making sure that they are ready to go from a marketing perspective, so that the community knows who they are, what they're there to do, how they're going to support the community, what their point of difference is, what their differentiator is, why the consumers are going to, why their community is going to engage with them. So we spend a lot of time and put a lot of importance around that marketing element. And then training. We have an enormous, really comprehensive technology suite. So getting them trained on all of the elements that they need in order to be able to operate the business. And when I say need, it's all about lead generation. So we're focusing on everything that enables them to find leads, to list and sell. There's that expression in this industry, no one has any issues if you're listing and selling real estate. There's no problems if you're listing and selling real estate and commissions coming in the door. So it's that, and supporting them around recruitment, making sure that they are talking to the best people in the industry, in their community, around perhaps building a relationship with them and joining their business down the track. So there was so much to it. And it is, as I said, it's just overwhelming for them. And it's such a privilege. And I genuinely mean that. It's such a privilege to be a part of that experience and that journey with them.
Yeah. Well, they're lucky to have you in their corner, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing support and things like that, that Ray White give new people when they come on board. From our angle, I mean, you know, we see the press releases come out sort of launching the new people in their new offices. And so I didn't realize, so you do all that on the community side as well.
Yes. So we will help them craft a marketing campaign. So we'll sit down, have a consult. We've got about 24 people in our marketing team. So we are really blessed with teams of specialists. There's over 500 people in this group. So we have teams of specialists. So they'll sit down and have a marketing consult around the campaign elements. So all the different messaging, how they want to position themselves in their marketplace, what message they want to share with their community, what that will look like on press ads, social media tiles, billboards, bus seats, and then the presser component, so the press release. So it's a big bit. And depending on, you know, so somebody who's rebranding to us, that's a really, really sizable undertaking. It's a much larger undertaking than it is for somebody who's a startup, an office out of the ground where their footprint is already quite small.
Yeah, I can imagine, actually. It's actually good to sort of hear about a bit of the behind, you know, because we sort of see the end result of all of it. But the reality is you've been working on maybe one office or a rebrand for quite a bit of time before that.
100%. Rebrands, we might be working on that for 3 months, 6 months, as much time as we can, because we want that experience to be as positive as it possibly can be. And I try to be really honest because I don't want to underplay it. There is an awful lot of work to do, but it's really important to me that they know that I am there every step of the way. I know what needs to be done and I'll keep them on track. Even if it's tasks that are on their side of the ledger, I know what they are and I'll keep them on track and we'll keep working together. Sometimes it's just a call every couple of days to say, how are you feeling? You know, this is overwhelming. It's okay to feel like that. Everybody else before you, who's gone before you, has felt like that as well.
Yeah. Ray White is known for its family-oriented culture, even the onboarding process with agents. How do you get them to feel sort of immediately part of the family? Like, you know, because I always hear the family like a lot. How do you, someone like you, embed that sort of culture in new offices?
That's a really good question, Sam. Yeah. You know, as I said, there's more than 500 people across this corporate team. And I think it's probably, I would imagine it's hard for people to understand when I say, yet we have a family, you know, such a family culture. They probably think, how can you marry a family culture with such a sizable corporation? And
it's a big family.
It is a really big family. It is. And you know, it's a word we use all the time. And it possibly can sound disingenuous, but it's not. I think this, the family, as in the White family, they look at their tenure of leadership as being the custodian of the brand for the time that they are the leader and, you know, the time that they have the tenure for. And they are firmly focused on their responsibility to leave this company in a better place than what they found it. So I think that we have this amazing culture of curiosity and a mindset of no finish line. And so I think that that keeps us focused on constantly staying relevant, constantly taking responsibility for making sure that this place is a business where every member can have their very best career. And I think I'm finding it hard to articulate, but it just seems to come through. The family are incredibly accessible. They are at the coalface of this business day in, day out. And family values, you know, I feel like I can do my job with my own set of values, if that makes sense. I don't have to put on a different brand, or I don't have to put on a different coat or jacket when I, figuratively speaking, when I walk into the office. My values, which I think are family values, are so aligned with this family. And I'm just me and genuine and authentic in the way that I interact with our network. And I just think it's authenticity.
Yeah. So let's talk about your other family, which is Leading Ladies of Real Estate, which is just this fantastic community that you've built. And I've been privileged enough to be part of a couple of events. What motivated you to start the initiative, and how has it impacted women in the real estate industry so far?
Look, I think there's an expression that's perhaps overused, and we probably use it a lot in Leading Ladies, but I think it's perfect. You can't be what you can't see. And I think that's a really powerful message. So we want to make independent, ambitious, capable, strong women really visible in this industry. And we're probably coming about it with approaching it from three different areas. Most definitely recruitment. So the data shows us that not as many young women, and when I say young women, I mean women in their early 20s, not as many young women choose this industry as a first career in sales as young men do. There's certainly more women in the industry than men, but they go into property management. And that's absolutely fine if that's where they want to be. So we want to try and profile this industry as a fabulous career for young women as well, and also support those women who may be in the property management space, who may have ambition to move into that sales space. It's a really possibly unique industry in the fact that the discussion around inequality in pay between men and women is always so topical. And that doesn't exist really in this industry, in that sales space. Commission rate is the same for everybody. You negotiate it. So there are no barriers there. And then there's the next focus, I suppose, is career advancement. So aspire, profile aspirational women in this industry so that other women can aspire to them and to have those successful careers. You know, we've got an amazing lady in our network, which we call Chairman Elite. That's our highest level of recognition, performance recognition in our business. And she had a couple of businesses herself. She had never worked a school holiday. Every single school holiday she has off with her children. And how awesome is that? And it's not been a challenge for her. It's the way she, it's her business plan. It's the conversation she has with her sellers around launching all these campaigns after school holiday. So those are the sort of conversations we want to have, and we want to profile so that other women know that it is possible to have both. And you and I had, you had this wonderful expression, Hilt, when we spoke, when I asked you about work-life balance. And you referred to it as tilting. Sometimes in our life, we tilt towards work, and sometimes we tilt towards our family. And I think that shows that we can do both through things like that. And then, of course, leadership. We are so, so optimistic about seeing more women in leadership roles in this industry. Only around about 25% of our business owners across this industry in Australia and New Zealand are female. So that's a number that we really want to see change. We really want to see that done. You go into a room at any sales event here, and the number of women in a leadership role is too small. and we need to see that larger. So that's where it came about. So it's an industry-wide initiative, crosses brands. It's not a Ray White thing. It's most definitely industry-wide. And it's about providing a community and a forum for women to come together and network and support each other and challenge each other, support each other, lift each other up, be positive role model for each other. That's our ambition for Leading Ladies. And as you said, we're nearly 4 years in. To date, we've really excited. We've had about 5,000 ladies come to our face-to-face events now, and we've touched thousands more through our podcasts. So we're really starting to see that profile growing, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's very cool. So can you give us a little bit of a hint on what you've got planned for 2025 for Leading Ladies?
Sure. Well, look, I will only speak to Queensland. So we now have Leading Ladies communities across Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales, South Australia, Perth, and then in Auckland as well, which is super exciting. I'm the chair for Queensland. So for me, a real highlight for me this year was our first Leading Ladies event in a regional location. So back in July, we had an event in Townsville. I was being repeatedly asked by some of the ladies in the network up there, we would bring Leading Ladies there. So we did. They embraced it. They loved it. They were so supportive. It was a really wonderful event. So we have got another date for Townsville in the diary for 2025. I just had a conversation earlier this week with a fabulous lady who would like to take on our ambassador role in Mackay. So we're talking about doing an event there in March. We will have our two face-to-face events in Queensland as well, here in Southeast Queensland rather, as well as a monthly podcast, a Continuing Our Journeys podcast, which you were on, Sam. We'll continue to profile the amazing women in this industry through that as well. So I'm really keen to bring my ambassadors together next year and just have a greater focus on what more we can be doing, how we can have more impact, educating women about the fabulous opportunities that this industry offers, whether that's property management, operations, or sales.
Yeah. Now you asked me this question, so I'm going to have to ask you as well. Who are your favorite guests on your podcast? Just from the point of view of if someone's listening to this, who should they check out? Who's been your favorite?
Okay. And I'm not saying this just because I'm talking to you. Loved our chat. I really did. And I thought because it wasn't real estate specific, it wasn't, you know, you were talking it coming up from industry. It was about AI, your own journey. I thought it was super interesting. And I know that our team, they felt that it was a real highlight. One of the real highlights of the ladies that we had spoken to. Love speaking with Hayley Vandervan. Always love speaking with Hayley. She has been a fabulous supporter of Leading Ladies from the very start. So that was super exciting to sit down with her. And Roxanne Patterson, a really, you know, bomb, a rock star. Yeah, rock star in the Ray White Network. So those are three that come to mind for me that I have sat down with. But everybody is amazing. I enjoy every conversation I have. And so appreciative of people sharing their stories and being generous with that. I've got an amazing lady called Emily Richardson locked in for January. So Emily was the number one international BDM of the year for the Ray White Group internationally at our annual awards a few months back. And her journey, she's just a young woman, her journey and her focus on building her career and the level of service that she provides to her landlords and her tenants is extraordinary. So got her locked in and I'll be lining a few other people up as well.
Yeah, we'll definitely leave some links in the show notes and thank you very much. I wasn't fishing, I promise you. I was only thinking of that awkward moment, you know, when I was trying to think who were my favorite guests. So
yes, you got me back.
Yeah. All right. So want to end with maybe some key pieces of advice, because you see people coming in, you see their journeys, you've been at Ray White a long time. So if you were to offer some advice to real estate agents looking to advance their careers, what would that be? And then maybe let's think from a lens of a business owner taking on new recruits.
Look, I think this probably applies to business owners and to agents. I think clearly understand what your business stands for and what your differentiator is. This is an incredibly competitive industry, and it's so important to truly understand what your business stands for. Identify your customer value. What is most important to your customer around what your business looks like and what you provide? For example, Gavin Rubenstein, it's about excellence. Absolutely everything they do is focused around excellence because of the prestige end of the market that he works at. So everything they do is looked at through that lens. So truly understanding, I think, what your differentiator is without it being a discounted commission, That's not allowed. But so understand what people want from your business. Understand what your community wants from your business and build a strategy around that to make sure that you're delivering it and measure it. Be able to communicate it to your team, whether the business owner to your team or a lead agent to your own team. So that would definitely be one. I think there's an expression which I love. You have to earn the right to influence people. And I think if you think about that, it's a powerful statement. People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So ask the questions, show that you care, get to know them, and then you're earning the right to influence them. And it just helps you build those deeper-seated relationships. And probably, you know, and off that, having really strong communication skills. There was an amazing lady called Dr. Ali Walker that spoke to our leading ladies about 18 months ago. And she has a PhD in group dynamics. And it was about, her discussion was about human interactions in terms of a scale of frequency and intensity. So understanding who you're speaking to, understanding where they sit on that scale, and adapting your own style to suit. You know, if you're a really high intensity person and you're sitting down with somebody who was so introverted, doesn't want to be challenged, finds it really difficult to engage in a conversation, then you coming at them at 100% is going to make them really uncomfortable. And you're potentially not going to get that listing. So it's about understanding that and adapting to that. So I would say that probably relevant to both business owners and agents. In terms of business owners, understand your why. Understand why you're doing this. In my experience, particularly through the Next Leaders Professional Development Program that I've facilitated over the last 10 years, is the truly great business owners are those that are leaders that genuinely care about the people that they are responsible for. They genuinely care about building an environment that supports the growth. They genuinely want them to have a better career than what they've had. It's one of the most challenging things for any business owner, regardless of your tenure, regardless of whether you're a startup or an enduring business, whether you've been in leadership for 30 years or 3 minutes, is attracting, developing, and retaining good people. And that doesn't come without being a good leader. You know, people will leave businesses, they won't necessarily leave leaders. But be a really good leader, be totally committed and authentic around wanting the very, very best for your people. That would be probably something that I've picked up, and it's been overwhelmingly clear to me through all of the business owners and leaders that I've heard speak to our Next Leaders people over the last decade.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. Total sense, actually. So thank you for sharing that with us. And also thank you for coming back on here with me and returning the favour.
My pleasure. I feel so privileged to be asked.
And being on our podcast. So if anyone listening wants to get involved with Leading Ladies, what should they do? Who should they contact?
Reach out to me. I would love to have a chat to anybody who is keen to be involved. Our first event for next year, our first face-to-face event, is going to be in March around International Women's Day. I hope to get some, certainly a save the date, but ideally have registrations open before Christmas, but we'll see how we go with that. We're currently sourcing a venue and I'm looking at speakers. But yeah, just reach out to me. Love to have a chat about how if you get involved and be a part of the Leading Ladies community.
Yeah, amazing. Sounds like an exciting 2025 ahead for Leading Ladies and for you. So once again, Sally Patch, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's been lovely. Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.